Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Brian Schottenheimer, current betting favorite to be your next Cowboys head coach. But that story is shifting and evolving quickly. Let's discuss it. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N-A. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy scout, NFL executive, in his Masters hoodie. It's a good hoodie right there.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
You have Ross Lubinsky in for Lucius Alexander today. Wolchuk and Chiafalo are in the house. Are you coordinating that video? No, Carter Freeman is back there coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube, and a good afternoon. So you had the shoddy story that's out there, and we can talk about the branches on that topic tree. But Nick Harris posting saying shoddy as a head coach would be a surprise from the discussions he's had. There's still an overwhelming feeling Kellen Moore is the leader, according to his sources there at the Star-Telegram, and some believe Saleh is closing in following a strong interview on Saturday, and this buzz has me believing this will lead to Shoddy sticking around, but is OC. So Shoddy gaining steam, Saleh's still out there, Kellen Moore is still out there. Gentlemen, what are you guys hearing from your sources that you could add to the discussion that kind of sets where we're at here for the next 5 hours?
Yeah, I guess Robert Saleh really did have an outstanding interview. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how real he was as a contender, but I think that maybe some in the building even thought that he interviewed better than they expected. So I think that what Nick is saying sounds right. To me, I still think this is Kellen. Maybe the Schottenheimer stuff could even be used as like a leverage play to try and get Kellen to take a little bit less money. Like, hey, we've got another guy in-house, an internal candidate that Dak likes. A lot of the offensive players do like. A lot of the younger guys on the team are pushing for. I think there's a lot of people in that leadership council that are big, big fans of Shoddy as well. So, hey, we've got another option to go. I just don't see, like, if Schottenheimer were to be the offensive coordinator, not a head coach, and you hire Kellen Moore, I assume Kellen Moore wants to call the plays. So that would be a weird dynamic if they went Kellen Moore and then they, you know, same title basically for Schottenheimer, but he gets to call the plays. That whole thing's fascinating. But I think a lot of that with Saleh, you might have to wait what happens with Jacksonville. I do think he might be also number two behind Ben Johnson in Jacksonville. Right. So you got to wait for that domino. And if they do end up getting a Ben Johnson or somebody else, then, okay, Saleh is definitely more in play with the Cowboys. If they don't, and he has both options, I think he's taking Jacksonville over Dallas.
So they're looking at Saleh as a head coach, not a DC if Zimmer retires?
No, I think that Saleh would be a head coach.
How about, what do you hear, Mariah?
Yeah, I think to me, but I've heard a very, very sensitive guy. And so there's some questions about, do you really, really want him as your head coach? And, you know, we know how the Jones boys operate a little bit, you know, the fun-loving guys and stuff.
They can rankle you.
Yeah, they can rankle you a little bit. So, yeah, I've heard the stuff about about Shoddy, and it's really related to, like, there have been people that have told me he is a legitimate head coaching candidate. I think there's some folks over there really trying to figure some things out. I've heard so many different things. But we got to remember about Schottenheimer. When he first came to Dallas, he had that Ben McAdoo job where he was working with the defense. there are guys on the defensive side of the ball that really think that he was a really outstanding coach. And so not only is he getting support from offensive players, but he's also getting support from defensive players. And it appears to be that they're trying to line things up that he somehow, some way, if he doesn't get the head coaching job, that he ends up the offensive coordinator here. But there's a lot of support for him in the building. There's also support in the building for him with Stephen Jones and also the players for him to be potentially a head coach.
Well, you know, I'm just hoping for the best here. Does Zimmer and Shoddy have legs to it? Zimmer head coach, Shoddy OC have legs to it coming out of the weekend? Where are we with that right now?
It seems to me that some of the names that I'm hearing, I was hearing that there was like that guys like Bones Fossil, people like that would be out of the building. But there's also some Lunda Wells potentially being the offensive line coach. A name of a guy that I had heard about was a kid named Christian Garcia, who was assistant secondary coach. That seems to be a guy, young guy that they kind of like.
Ooh, we were hanging out with him we were enjoying some rudder room action with him.
Yeah.
He was an awesome dude.
Well, Christian, keep an eye on him.
He came from Washington last year.
Keep an eye on him as a potential guy to be part of maybe a staff here.
But you're telling me those three names as a way of saying that you've heard nothing about Zimmer?
I've heard nothing. Mike Zimmer told me that he would take the job if it's a head coaching job. There's also some thought that Mike Zimmer might end up back in Cincinnati. Mike Brown likes him quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. They're DC.
And they're DC. And he would absolutely go back as the DC. Okay. He only lives 20 minutes from the complex there in Cincinnati because he has a home in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
If
he used to be with his horses.
If Mike Brown were to call, you would lose Mike Zimmer to the Cincinnati Bengals as the OC. The DC there.
So there's still tons of balls in the air. We're not any closer. Even though Schottenheimer's the betting favorite, the scheme under Shoddy frustrated people of last year. Is there any hope that you could draw from? Hey, maybe it's him working autonomously instead of Mike Zimmer influencing the offense heavily. That you could have something different than what we saw last year.
I think that there were some stuff that Mike McCarthy did offensively that Shoddy did not agree with.
Absolutely.
There was some, you know, maybe, and I don't know that Shoddy was like very outspoken, but similar to what we saw like Kellen and Mike. Maybe Mike didn't like some of the stuff Kellen was doing. I think Schottenheimer, if he was the one that was able to call plays, would have done things very differently than Mike did. I mean, I heard a story about Mike after a game this year said, okay, maybe we should be looking at some of what these other teams like San Francisco is doing. And that blew away some of the other members of the staff. Like, you're just realizing this now. And I think Shoddy might have been one of the ones that was also just completely mind blown at that notion from Mike. Like, where have you been, buddy? You've been living under a rock here.
Well, that's good to know that at least some people over there are like, yes, we should be trying some more Shanahan or McVay style offensive sets here, and you know, but it's frustrating that they couldn't get that in the game plan. Like, was Mike that close-minded?
Oh yeah, oh really? yeah. There were things that, you know, clearly Mike was one of these guys that was he cut off a lot of avenues for potential growth for some folk over there.
And so there's no Monday, Tuesday, sit around and throw up plays on a chalkboard, see who's got something cooking. No.
I think there was a lot of ego involved. I think there was a lot. I mean, some of the moves that he made of, you know, not putting guys in like there were guys in certain positions and taking them out of those positions, and then, you know, and just kind of doing things on his own and not really, you know, listening to what needed to be done.
Well, you know, I think the only path to success is to design an offense that puts Dak in a position to find easy, explosive plays. And I just feel like we've tried everything that you possibly could running this style of offense. It's got to be a shift to something, you know, more dynamic. You know, he's not going to, you know, run you into favorable looks in the secondary. He's just not going to do that, you know. So I think if you're the Joneses, you got to be almost at your wit's end thinking, we can't go back to this style of offense. It's got to be a drastic departure and more towards something that, you know, can hopefully confuse the defense and provide easy targets in space. You know, that's the only way through at this point of Dak's career.
Yeah, and just finding, I mean, there's been a lot of these playoff teams this year have been, they've had great rushing attacks. And yeah, it's not all because they're all paying $12.5 million for a running back. There's other reasons. And for the most part, you have guys on those sidelines that understand how to design a well-crafted, nuanced, and wide variety rushing attack. And they have never once had that since Dak's been here.
So do we know how Dak feels about Schottenheimer, or how Dak would feel about the Lions' offense?
I think this is an absolute, the Schottenheimer aspect of it. I think that if you... Potentially, I know he really liked Doug Nussmeier quite a bit and the opportunities he had to work with him. So, yeah, I think this would be, like I say, I think the players are lining up in a way to make sure that Brian Schottenheimer is on the radar, either as a head coach or potential OC for a new staff.
The stuff, I mean, what we've heard about Kellen and Shoddy, continuity, Dak knows the offense, he doesn't want to learn a new offense. That has me wonder a little bit about how much Dak really is open to offensive change here. And I don't know. I mean, if that's the thing, like, are you going to be getting a lot of the same? Like, we can talk about, oh, it'd be fun to get tweaks. And maybe Schottenheimer, like, he's had the offensive coordinator label, but he hasn't been calling plays. And then the year of also scouting the defense and what he was doing, much like Ben McAdoo did here, maybe he did learn some stuff, and that would change. We've seen coaches be, I mean, Cliff certainly has done a better job this go around than what he did with Arizona. But I wonder, like, we can be hopeful with Dak, and some of that argument for me has been, hey, let's bring in an offensive coach, and that's something Dak's never had. I wonder how open to that change Dak is. I don't have that answer. But when you keep hearing a Kellen Moore and a Brian Schottenheimer and Dak knows the offense and there's continuity and similarity and comfortability, to me that doesn't indicate it's a quarterback who's very open to offensive change.
Well, Dak, much like the Joneses, loves his comfort. And that's what this is all about. Just make sure everybody's comfortable and we'll go out there and maybe we'll make the playoffs. Maybe we won't. We definitely won't make a conference championship game, so don't start getting crazy. But we'll all, you know, sleep nicely on our sleep number bed. We'll wake up tomorrow and we'll go win 9 games.
Yeah, I think you just nailed it spot on. You know, it's all about status quo and comfortability. And Kellen Moore and Shoddy represent both of those things. And, you know, probably for Dak as well. Are you with me that at least there's a chance with Schottenheimer that we see something different? Like, I would be, I don't know, on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe my excitement level about Shoddy would be a 6. With Kellen Moore, it'd be a -1.
Yeah. I don't even know that I could go as far as to say a 6 with Shoddy. We've seen him call a lot of offenses, and we haven't really seen him have much sustained success throughout the course of his career, being the play caller for offenses, not doing much in the way of scoring and whatnot. So I would be, if I'm going to be optimistic, it's going to be extremely cautious. But there are examples where you can't get too, like, coaches are super stubborn, but the best, obviously, know how to adapt. You mentioned Kingsbury there, Wolchuk. That's a great example. Dan Quinn is another on the other side of the ball, where it's like, man, we thought this was a guy that did one thing, and he's adapted over the years, and it's worked out in his favor. So it can be done, and perhaps Shoddy will be the guy to do it.
Cowboys now hold the record for longest drought for the NFC title game after Washington gets in. You got a lot of, like, things that should leave you burning. Like, to have Philly and Washington both in there is rich. To have it be your former head coach, I think, is just amazing. So many people around this team, close to this team, in the division, having that kind of success. You know, used to beat up on Buffalo. They're back in the mix. It's amazing to have Kansas City there, the team that was the original Dallas Pro Football team. Everywhere Jerry turns, there are things that should emphasize and underscore the failure of this organization. But Hagee said it in the break, and I totally agree. I don't think it bothers him at all. So we'll hope for some sort of a catalyst.
I mean, he's seen the Giants, make 3 Super Bowls over that time, win 2. The Eagles as well, I think, have made 3 Super Bowls over that time, 1-1. So it's like, this should really bother you. When it's you at 1995 last appearance and then the Bears in 2010, that's a big gap there. 15 years, I mean, you're not even close. This should really be a wake-up call. You got 10 former players or coaches over in Washington that are now in that conference championship game.
Especially because in Washington, right. I mean, the biggest thing that changed in Washington, obviously the quarterback, but it all starts with an ownership change. you know, and the kind of leadership and decision making that has flowed from that franchise that the previous 30 years was just unforeseen. Okay, Mavs beat the Thunder Friday. Amazing, you know, to get that win because they lost to the Hornets just last hour here on an MLK Day game. And it's, you know, that's the kind of game just like New Orleans last week where when you're this down and out, you need these kind of games. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, Mavs fans are in a tough place right now, just hoping that Luke will be back after the All-Star break and they can finish hot and be in the playoff. Stars look good in a 4-1 win over Detroit yesterday, breaking a two-game losing streak. They'll host the Hurricanes tomorrow and then Las Vegas on Friday. Let's talk more about that divisional weekend. Well, Chuck, what do you say?
Let's do it. NFL true or fart with these divisional round overreactions. That's next in the Nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back, Nation. Segment here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 9 minutes. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, let's do it. What a weekend it was in the NFL. The divisional playoff did not disappoint, and it's time to do a little true or fart. Take it away, Robert Flores.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or fart? False. Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
All right, the stunner. The Commandos, they get it done, 45-31. They go on the road. They spoil the number one seed Detroit Lions season. True or fart, Gavin Dawson, the Lions have just lost their best chance at winning the Super Bowl.
I don't think so. I think they'll have a better chance next year when they get healthy. You know, looking at Jared Goff's contract, from what I can tell, it continues to, you know, just to get lower against the cap for one more year, I think, and then there's some nastiness and accelerators maybe in 26. But no, I think they'll have a better chance next year when they get Aiden Hutchinson. Like, once they lose that guy, it put their defense in a really vulnerable position that you can see they did not handle well this weekend. Right. I mean, they even said at halftime, you got to get out of this defense.
Yeah. You're getting so that's a fart
lit up. Yeah, I guess I farted on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I
believe
think that,
so.
Yeah, I think that's a
sounded fart. Like one to me.
I think that's a fart too. I think that they are going to, you know, the injuries were a huge part of that. Now, how can they overcome potentially losing coaches? That will be tough. But knowing Dan Campbell and that crew, they probably got some guys that are ready to step up and take a little bit bigger role. And I think the Lions are going to be good for a while.
I will say true to this. I do think they've lost their best opportunity. I mean, keeping that offensive line healthy and dominant is not an easy thing to continue. Just a general continuing to go on deep runs and having your heart broken, and then the coaching staff factor, sustaining what has been really good to greatness over the last two seasons for them, I think it's only going to be more difficult. And you see what happens when you have a guy like Jared Goff and there's a volatility factor where he can really be backbreaking for you. Of course, the injuries to their defense was monstrous, but I think losing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, and then who knows who else is going to take him from that staff by those guys.
Sure.
So, I think it's true. They just had their best chance.
I'm with you on that.
24 unrestricted free agents, by the way.
It's a lot. Yeah. And the list of, like, the Ravens and the Rams, all these teams have a ton of players they're going to be losing. So I know we've talked about that from the Cowboys. Like, oh, my gosh, how many of these guys can they retain? I mean, Baltimore, they're about to have to pay Ronnie Stanley a bunch of money. Like, both of these teams have a ton of free agents. But I'm going to say true. And a big reason is I think the NFC is going to be getting better. I mean, within their own division. With Green Bay. I don't know how healthy Jordan Love was throughout the whole season. Chicago, if they make a good head coaching hire, all of a sudden that's a team that could be on the rise. J.J. McCarthy, if he hits in Minnesota, we've seen the difference with what the quarterback can do. They just were able to win 14 games with Sam Darnold. I think Michael Penix is the real deal in Atlanta. That might be a team that gets better. Washington doesn't seem like they're going to be going anywhere with Jaden Daniels. And the coaching change we saw with Filthy last year, that does make a huge difference if you're not able to fill those coordinator roles with people that are anywhere near as good previously. So it's tough, man. The last 2 years, things have been laid out for Detroit nicely. They blew a 17-point lead, and San Francisco just had home field advantage, and they lose to the sixth seed. That's a heartbreaker.
As you saw when Jimmy left, though, if you have something going, you have a machine, and their skill players are so amazing.
They
just get Gibbs the ball more,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to have to do work. But I think the passion of that city and how close they were will motivate that owner and front office to find the kind of space to build at least as good of an offensive line as they had. I think they lose Dan Skipper and Kevin Zeitler are free agents. Zeitler's up there. You know,
yeah, he is.
You could replace him pretty easy on the free agent market.
All right. Mr. Brian Brown is true or fart. Jaden Daniels just became the best rookie quarterback ever with what he's already done in two playoff games.
Wow, you're taking this thing way back, aren't you?
Way back.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because Dan Marino got to the Super Bowl as a rookie quarterback in 84. I'm going to say fart on that.
Unless he gets there?
Yeah.
And then maybe you put him ahead of Dan?
Yeah, we'll see. But I know in 1984, Dan Marino had a hell of a year to get the Dolphins there. So I'm going to say that's a fart right now until he actually gets there.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been able, just from my own experience watching football, that I've never seen anything like this from a rookie. I mean, he is absolutely the reason why they are what they are. He's carrying a defense that is just okay, and he is, he comes up with clutch play after clutch play. He was so dialed in that game. Like, Aaron Glenn just keeps sending the blitz, and he's like, okay, I'll pick you apart.
You know, it's so fascinating that last game of the year against the Cowboys, what if the Commanders end up losing that game and becoming the seventh seed and having to go to Philadelphia to open the
playoffs? I know,
playoffs?
Right?
Yeah, changes
it,
everything.
It took Dan Quinn pulling that kid for them to get that win. Now, it's just something you always kind of think
that's
about.
That's true.
You know, I mean,
Zimmer's the Daniels stopper.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I'm anybody watching how to stop Daniels, I'm watching Mike Zimmer tape mm-hmm. for two games because he did a hell of a job against him. But man, the kid has played incredible. Don't get me wrong, but man, it really took them pulling, putting Marcus Mariota in the second half to go win that game because it didn't look like they were going to win that game with Dan. With
no, it didn't. They Daniels were struggling. Playing. I mean, you're so right. And the Cowboys did beat them in Washington as well. So maybe Zim is the guy. Like, that's even more reason you got to play him twice a year.
Yeah.
But every time you need a big play on fourth down, he's making all the right decisions.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely. Yeah. No,
he's incredible.
I mean, I'm going absolutely true on this. And the big reason is it's also why, I mean, I put Joe Burrow in that elite company early on. When you're able to come into an organization, one that has just stunk for so long, and for Joe was 30 years in between playoff wins. I mean, this team, I don't think it advanced the divisional round since 2005. They haven't made an NFC championship game since 1991, their last Super Bowl. And he's doing this in year one. I mean, a team that's got a new ownership, new head coach, and everybody there deserves credit. But it really does, to me, boil down to him, what he's done. It is, in my opinion, without question, the best rookie season in NFL history, and he deserves all the praise for it because Washington was a dumpster fire, and he's now made it like, oh my gosh, here in the NFC, so we've got to be terrified.
At RG3's numbers of the regular season. You look at Cam Newton and some of these other guys. Dak Prescott statistically had a really good rookie season. But then, you know, you add the fact that legacies are defined in the postseason. And I think you're right, Wolchuk.
Yeah. And look, Dak had an unbelievable rookie season, too. Like, one person said he was one miraculous Aaron Rodgers pass down the sideline from going into an NFC championship game. I would argue Dak was put into a very, very good position, though. Jaden Daniels, the majority of people laughed at me when I said they'd make the playoffs and win the East this year. I was on crazy pills. People were still looking at the Cowboys prior to the Romo injury like, this is a legit contender. Offensive line solidified. You've got good weapons at receiver. Dak's team that he slid into probably better suited for immediate success than what the Commanders are working with. Incredible job here from Jaden Daniels. Last one here, Eric, NFL true or fart. We go to Eagles, Rams. We just saw Matthew Stafford play his last game in the NFL.
I'll go fart there. I know he's going to be contemplating here for a little while, but we've seen even his own head coach flirt with this and hasn't made that leap yet. I think they'll feel like, man, if we could just remain healthy enough, we can get this thing done. They've got some good young cornerstone pieces. I think he's back.
What's the question, Wolchuk? Sorry, I was looking up. I was working on a Ben Johnson take.
No, you're good.
We should be souring on him. 2-1 in favor of passes against runs. Gibbs and Montgomery. This is your biggest moment. You know, if we turned on Dan Quinn after failing in the playoffs last year, then I think we need to at least give Ben Johnson a fair amount of criticism for allowing Jared Goff to throw three interceptions when Jahmyr Gibbs is going for 7.5 yards an attempt and only gets the football 14 times. Okay. Is Matt Stafford going to retire? Probably not. Brian?
I don't think Stafford's going to retire. And by the way, Marino's Super Bowl year was 84. He was a rookie in 83.
Okay.
But he threw for over 5,000 yards. That's where I got confused. Ooh.
Well, I think he was an MVP his second year.
Yeah, but it's the same. They went to the Super Bowl, but it was his second year.
Second year.
Yeah, I'm making sure. But no, that...
I wasn't going to argue on that.
No. I just was thinking that was Dan Marino's first year. He threw for 5,000 yards. It was actually his second year in the league. But do you say Matthew Stafford going to retire?
Yeah.
I say that's fart.
I hope so.
Too much money out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't retire until they make you go, or you got bad concussions, or you're 45 years old, something like that. Into the Pimp Cup, Ross Lubinsky has your G-Bag of the day.
Oh boy, get excited, everyone. I know I'm not Lucius Alexander. Man, I wish I had those skills, I tell you what. But it is time for G-Bag of the day.
Let's rock.
All right, everyone, we're going to keep tradition going, and we will start off with our winner last time, which, of course, was Mr. AI Jerry Jones.
I fired Mike McCarthy because he looks like a pork chop, and I hate that big-ass play call sheet he holds during games. We all know it's a Perkins menu. I'm not even sure we need a coach. Hell, maybe we already have a coach in mind. Maybe he's sitting right in front of you. Half drunk on Johnny Walker Blue with only an Egg McMuffin in his belly and a pocket full of dinger pills. Maybe he's 82 years old and needs his ass wiped from time to time, depending on how much Salisbury steak he's ate. Look, I'm going to do things my way, and my way is terrible. But if you don't like it, then tough said the kitty, but the milk kept coming. Listen, I'm never going to die, mother. I drink 8 ounces of hog's blood every day, and I'm a vampire feeding off mass disappointment. So learn how to accept meaningless primetime games forever. What I'm looking for in our next head coach is someone that values analytics. Lets me take he and his wife to a Hojo's and sit in the cuck chair.
Wow. I believe this is four looking for five today. Yeah, Ross, a historic day.
It's got to be. That is an absolutely incredible piece of audio. And I really like to think that that's like what he sounds like behind like closed doors with like his friends. Like, I really like to think that that's just kind of generally what he sounds like. Maybe not with as many curse words and spitting bars like Lucius was saying. But yeah, something about me is just like, you know, an oil tycoon. I feel like you kind of have to be just kind of a, you know, take no S kind of dude. But man, what a great one that is. But let's go to our next one. This next one is really good. I really like this one. This is straight from Friday, and, you know, y'all did what you drinking, what you thinking, and Mr. Big Jim, he came in pretty...
Yes!
Yeah, Big Jim, we'll wrap it up here before we get to the G-Bag of the Year in L.A. Live in just a moment. Big Jim, what you drinking, what you thinking, buddy?
Well, fellas, I'm laid up in the bed sipping on whiskey, listening to you guys talk about Kellen Moore. I got an update from Dallas, the Cowboys app, that said he completed his interview, and I'm telling you, I couldn't be more pissed off. I hadn't been this pissed off in a long time. Kellen, Brian always talks about him being a collector of plays. That boy's got a playbook as thick as my ex-wife's church director, and every time he gets to like a third down, he's got a freaking, it's more complicated than a freaking cat in a yarn factory. And he's always getting cute with these triple reverses and whatnot. And it always takes longer to develop than a freaking tomato garden in the springtime. And I am just sick if this guy ends up being our, can you imagine this guy giving a halftime speech and be like, look, guys, if we don't start playing better football, I'm going to get upset. You're not. This is my angry face. I mean, come on. He looks like he crawled out of the Best Buy working on computers. We got to do better than that. I'm sick of it. I'm pissed. And I'm actually sick. I think that's why I'm cantankerous. But by George, y'all have a good one. Appreciate you. Get to the G-Bag of the Year, and we'll talk next week, fellas.
Salute to you, Big Jim, getting the the job done, kicking the door in. Yeah. Big
yeah. It was amazing.
That's good stuff.
Wow.
This is my mean face.
Oh, wow, boys. We got the news right now. It's hot. It's real. It's happening. The Bears have hired Lions OC Ben Johnson as their next head coach.
So I would expect now Robert Saleh ends up being the number one priority in Jacksonville. So this could be interesting. Things could really heat up. Ben Johnson going to Caleb Williams and to Bears.
Robert Saleh becomes the number one priority after Ben. Oh, I see what you're doing
in
there.
Jacksonville. Yeah, because okay. I think they had Ben Johnson one.
Dominoes are falling.
And I think Robert Saleh might be their number two option.
To in your face, Tom Brady.
I know. Tom was on his best behavior, I felt like, too. He was trying very hard not to mention Ben Johnson on that broadcast.
Tough to do.
I'm hiring Bill Callahan as my OC, and we're running it 45 times a game next year, all the way to undefeated and a trip in the Super Bowl.
Hey, you'll get the run game if you have Shoddy as your guy.
Well, yeah, if you had Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson.
It just won't be very imaginative.
yeah, if you had the quarterback to do the RPO thing with you.
Oh, yeah. If you like 34 dives, he's your guy.
Mm.
Who's next, Ross?
All right. So next up, I did want to give a quick shout out to David Lynch, who unfortunately is no longer with us. I honestly am not too familiar with his work. I know he did that Twin Peaks show back in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken. But
Didn't watch it.
Yeah, me either. But I had a friend in college who was a big cinephile, you know, majored in radio, television, film, and David Lynch was like his guy. So thinking of him and, of course, thoughts and prayers to the Lynch family. You know,
salute.
Never easy losing someone. So,
amen.
Best of luck to them through the to the grieving process. But I just had to when putting this together, I had to put this clip in because every time it crossed my timeline, I just thought it was so freaking funny.
You want to cut the time down?
What is this with everybody?
No.
What is it? Really? I'm serious. Hey, man, it drives me nuts. Who gives a how long a scene is?
Man, he was not thrilled to be talking about someone approached him about one of his scenes being too long. And, you know, he's one of those old school directors, so he was not a fan of being told that. So always just think that's hilarious. But the last one, it's a little bit longer, so you can feel free to cut me off whenever. But I was working the night that Blake and old Freddie D decided that they were just going to, you know, come out of the gate swinging for the fences.
Dude, Texans ain't beating the Chiefs on Saturday. Okay, they might jump out to like a 10-7 lead in the first quarter. Chiefs are a little rusty. Last I checked, one team has the goat, the other team doesn't. So
I put agree. That in pipe and smoke. I think the Chiefs are going to win as well.
I think it's going to be like a 31-23 type ball game. Something like
31-23,
that.
Oh, I can get with that.
31-23, and it'll be like a cheap touchdown that the Texans score at the end.
Yeah,
something like that. You ain't stopping this offense once it gets going.
Okay.
I'm telling
you. They've just been electric. 30 points every game.
I don't know if you saw week 16 and 17 when Hollywood Brown came back. Totally different offense.
That's all you care about.
Totally different offense.
Week 16, week 17. Just throw all the other weeks out. Whatever.
No, because they won those games
throw
too.
All the other weeks out.
No, I didn't say they didn't win them. Yeah. You said electric offense. You
last two games. Last two games.
Okay, we'll start doing
last
that.
Two games.
Start doing
last
that.
Two games. I mean, I know what it's all.
Last two games, electric offense. Now, the other 15, let's
throw
this.
They were banged up.
They are the only team in the NFL that's banged up. I'm glad you brought that up. The Chiefs
are name another team in the NFL that lost their number one and number two wide receiver and their number one running back and still rattle off the win streak the Chiefs
did. No one rattled off the win streak, so there's really no point in bringing that part up.
No, I will bring that part up.
As far as people, this isn't a are the Chiefs good conversation. Yeah. You said electric offense. That's literally what you
last
said.
Last 2 weeks, yes.
Last two weeks is much. But the Texans lost their wide receiver one and wide receiver two and lost Mixon for a good part of the year.
Yeah.
It was all in the defense.
They were terrible until they beat the raggedy-ass Chargers on Saturday.
Okay. I think the Chiefs are going to win. Yeah. That's not my...
All righty, Ross. That's a good taste of the Blake and Fred fight from last Thursday night. Fan After Dark, 7-11. These guys got something, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'd check in late night if you're bumping around DFW. You're going to enjoy the content. Is it AI Jerry Jones looking for five? Is it Big Jim on the Geek Squad Tech? Kellen Moore being a favorite, I guess. David Lynch was told one of his scenes was too long, and the Blake and Fred fight. I'm going with AI Jerry Jones, Chief.
Yeah, me too.
Ross?
Big time. AI Jerry Jones.
Wolchuk?
Big Jim.
Brian?
Big Jim.
By a score of 3-2, and now a five-time G-Bag of the Day champion, our first of 2025. He's now immortalized once again. He was the 2024 G-Bag of the Year. He's back at him again in his white band. Oh, what are we doing next, Chief?
Best of the weekend featuring the top moments from all the football, and KD gets the last laugh next year in the nation.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ross. In for Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation and the fan. Here's Eric Chiafalo.
Wow. What a moment in time. I believe Wolchuk just sent the congratulatory phone call to resident Bears fan Will Chambers on the hiring of Ben Johnson.
He's
That's
pumped.
Exciting
He's
stuff excited. Right there. Of course he is. Why wouldn't he be? The Bears finally did the right thing from a head coach standpoint. And what great news it is to be Caleb Williams right now, because that's really what this all boils down to. He probably could have had, like, he could have picked his general manager. He could have had the autonomy stuff more with the Raiders, perhaps, or with the Jags. But I think this is just, dude, he believes in Caleb Williams, understandably so. And hopefully it works out for him. If you're Caleb Williams right now, you're just throwing a freaking party.
Oh, yeah, this is fantastic. I mean, the best offensive mind, you figure our offensive line is toast, but this guy should be able to maximize what we have. Now I'm looking at the front office to get me some help there in the trenches, and, you know, maybe the Bears realize their potential coming up as early as, you know, next season. If, you know, in fact, the OC is this powerful, I just think the chances are about 50-50 that Ben Johnson goes in there and struggles without the kind of road-grading offensive line that he was blessed to have in Detroit.
Yeah, there's a very real chance of that for sure. And now we'll, I mean, but if you're the Bears, this was the move that you had to make. Like, this was the unanimous best offensive mind out there. Go do it and take the chance that he can end up being a great head coach as well and have all the other characteristics that you need. But from a play calling, play designing standpoint, Caleb Williams is going to be in absolute heaven right now. And yes, the Cowboys will be seeing Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm. Wonder if he dials up any offensive line touchdown calls.
I mean, you will when you start to the line. When you start talking about the best like moments from the weekend, I thought one of the coolest, I've never seen it, and Tom Brady like exclaimed it in real time as well. I've never seen that
before.
Reverse shovel? Yes, where
that was amazing.
They flip it out to the left, they get everybody going wide left, and then the running back that they flipped it to actually flips it back now into the line of scrimmage to the guy that's coming from right to left, and it was just a shovel pass, but it goes to the running back first and then to the guy that's crossing the formation. Just that right there. I mean, that was a great play. I thought the Laporta touchdown grab.
Oh, it was a sensational catch. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness, dude. And just overall, I mean, these games were all pretty fun and for the most part in the balance and close enough to really want to ride it all the way through.
Yeah.
So that was good stuff. I did think the heady play of the weekend comes courtesy of Jameson Williams. Now, he unfortunately had the trick play gone awry where he throws an interception, which you never want to have happen. But he did on the play that he scored the outstanding chunk play touchdown. And then his celebration, do you remember what he did to celebrate? It was jarring in the moment because it was obvious. And I was waiting for the flag to fly, but it's the three pump rule. Mm-hmm. He went right down to the turf and started making sweet love to the Lions turf, basically in the end zone. But
that's a flag.
He stopped it. How many pumps? Two pumps.
Mm-hmm.
Three is where you get the flag. Mm-hmm. Even if it is the most obvious thrusting that you've ever seen, it was apparent and it was a little bit eye-popping in the moment. But no flags. And I was kind of looking around going like, I'm surprised they're not going to flag that. That was pretty apparent. But it's three pumps. And so
maybe they've come to their senses.
Jameson knew that. You know? Yeah, he certainly did.
We can't let the halftime shows come out here and pump in their underwear and not let the players get at least two pumps in after a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. You had from the Chiefs game.
I mean, we were letting Dolly Parton get away with a little geriatric pump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nobody needed to see that. Sorry, Chief.
No, you
didn't mean to belabor the point.
You're on fire right now.
Thank you.
I mean, Babe got pretty excited.
Yeah, well, hey, so did Broadus. I remember him doing that halftime show.
Oh, yeah, we were doing the halftime show. I was speechless.
You were pretty fired up.
Yeah.
We had the Mahomes touchdown to Kelsey. I mean, how about that one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't believe the refs, I mean, that's the only reason the Chiefs won, because the refs went out there and made that play happen for Patrick Mahomes to get it to Travis Kelsey.
I knew that was going to have you fired up.
There was something to the refs, though. I mean, come
Good
on.
Lord.
Which one bugged you
don't
most?
Don't hit the quarterback in the head, guys. Like, what are we complaining about? Bitching to be bitching
okay,
over here.
Okay, let's go ahead and let the quarterback just dance until the defender commits
Change
and
the
then
rule.
Fall down. The defenders are hitting themselves on top of you more.
And they hit the quarterback in the head, right?
No,
Change the rule this offseason, you won't deal with
thank
that.
Thank you. Okay, so you realize it's BS. You want the rule changed.
I'm with you, man. Patrick Mahomes does it better than anybody.
You want.
And you need to know.
You need to change the rule.
You need to be coached better on the defensive side of the football.
There's nothing you can coach around. That it takes
don't nail him in the head.
It takes referee common sense.
If he's going
that
down,
was BS.
I'm staying the hell away. And you're right.
Okay.
The officiating was poor all the way around this weekend. I mean, Lamar Jackson probably should have gotten a call. He got tackled out of bounds. They decided not to call it. And the two refs, I'll tell you, coming up next, you're going to ref the conference championship games. I don't think it's going to get much better.
Jeez,
who do you got?
I know Cleet.
You got Sean Hockley and Cleet Blakeman.
Okay.
And Eagle fans are going to be very excited.
So that means the Super Bowl will have neither one of those guys, which
Thank
is a
goodness.
Good thing.
The Eagles are undefeated with their guy reffing over here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to get some serious home
cooking. 8-0 are the Eagles.
Mm.
Well, I thought, honestly, the play that bugged me most, because I am sort of team Mahomes. I want to see the greatness. I want to see the dynasty. But the play where he clearly flopped and tried to draw the flag on the sideline, that was Bush League. Be better than that. You're better than
that. I'm with you, man.
Like, I would be calling out. I'd be calling out any basketball player, superstar, even if I loved them. That was a big-time flop there. You're trying to bait the refs into doing something. And that was actually a good moment. Tip of the cap to the refs there for not buying it. But Mahomes doing the flop stuff, that was a bit of a joke, as much as I love him, and I think the Chiefs are pretty dang awesome. Let's see. The plays from yesterday. How about Verse, dude? Oh, my gosh. For the Rams and obviously the Eagles, they find a way to get it done. The snow was great. I absolutely loved it. The people all weekend long that were lamenting the snow, get freaking out of here,
so
dude.
Beautiful.
Some people are like, hey, man, when we get to the playoffs, it should just be like, let's go like neutral dome, like whatever. Like, okay.
This is football.
This is what football. It's all about. This is meant to perfect. Be played in the elements, dude.
Added a little layer of difficulty, I think, with catching a couple of footballs, but it didn't stop any of the great, you know, cuttings that we needed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was a moment here or there where you'd see a route get run, and you'd be like, okay, you could tell he was laboring around that corner a little bit. But, I mean, the pass rush was still outstanding. Jared Verse is still getting it done at a high level. You had Jalen Carter for the Eagles just being a monster in the middle.
Oh, he's become...
Especially as that game went on. And he's like an Iron Man. He played like every single snap of that football game.
66 of 70 snaps.
He was the best player in that draft class and somehow slid to the Eagles. They also somehow got Nolan Smith at 30 in that draft.
And that dude's really starting to come along. But I thought the snow and the elements made it to be fantastic. Jalen Hurts continues to not have to really do anything. Now his opening touchdown was big.
The opening touchdown of the game
before things started to get real snowy. That was nice. And the element of these running quarterbacks, man, I mean, it's absolutely huge. Saquon doing his thing. I'm sure everybody was feeling good about that. But and Walchuk with the Bills pick. I know you were just on fire with that. Did anybody else pick the Bills?
Not on our show.
You were the only one. You lone wolfed it with the Bills.
Tell you what, I'm going to lone wolf it this weekend too. This is the Bills' time, boys.
Wow.
We're going to beat the Chiefs.
Wow. Did I just hear that?
I was not expecting that.
Picked them to go undefeated wire to wire.
Then losing the conference championship game to Cincinnati. I thought
it was all
Burrow,
part of the plan.
But this
it's
time,
all part of the plan.
It's Josh Allen. He's going to get the Steve Young monkey off the back. We're seeing Bills Mafia in New Orleans. I'm trying to will it into existence.
Wow, dude. I do have a big tip of the cap to Buffalo and some of their concession items a little bit later on. Because my goodness gracious, dude, they actually brought some serious heat this weekend.
Did you guys see the orange seats? Do you see the seats that were heated?
I did. I made a point to. Yeah.
When they showed the stadium shots, all the orange, those are heaters for those people.
Not
the
only
club
did
seats.
I see them, I paused and I said, Maya, look at this. Yeah. Brian told us about these seats. They're heated.
Yeah.
I love the breakdown that one of the networks did where they were going around to all the fans, like, how do you survive going to games here or there? And you know, they all had their own approach. Then they went to the players, you know, and a lot of wetsuit players. You know, that's a big deal in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Apparently they have like 40 or 50 that they roll out in like this little wardrobe before a super cold game, and all the players get to pick which different ones they have. There's one that's been owned by Tom Brady, Matt Castle, and Alex Smith. I'm not sure if that's the one Mahomes wears, but you know, I think that's huge. Like the weather technology, and then the refs. A former ref retired and started this company where I make ref suits basically for you to be able to officiate while you're freezing your balls off.
Wow, dude. See, I love that. That's good stuff right there. I'd be all about wearing that. These crazy animals. That I wonder if we're going to get any reports of frostbite stuff like we did last year after some Kansas City playoff games.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of shirtless. I mean, a ridiculous amount of nipples were apparent at Arrowhead on Saturday. Now, I did want to shout out Steve
10 beer
Blunt.
Minimum for that.
10 beer minimum.
10 beer minimum. To go there. Yeah,
it has to be, dude. Yeah. That's you're a different kind of person.
That liquid help.
Shout out to Steve Blunt, who is a big time Tolo and the owner of Local Craft Barbecue in Newark, which is like 15-20 minutes from my place.
Nice.
They cook all their stuff in tallow, and it was 10 out of 10 dominant when it comes to the barbecue. I think we might get a little care package sent up here to the studio one of these days because I was just losing my mind about it. Fantastic in Newark.
We love all the great
local craft
barbecue.
Yeah.
We're spoiled.
We're a
barbecue
fan
heaven.
Of all barbecue.
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah, salute. Furtado, if you make great barbecue out there, we'd love to try it. Okay, there he is. Best of the... Oh, I had my the floors in my office. They've been out of there for about 2 years since the carpet got so bad. I just pulled up the carpet one day because I couldn't stop sneezing. I found out there was allergens in there.
Oh, I remember that.
So I had a buddy, Jason. I call him Jason the Tolo. Many of you guys know him. He's like, oh, yeah, dude, if you need anything around the house, just give me a call. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go get some vinyl flooring. Come on in here. Dude, he banged it out. It looks amazing.
Oh, that was good by for far you, the best man. That's of the weekend fantastic. For me.
I got, did you stand around and watch?
Well, I was laying on the couch watching the games, and he'd poke his head out every now and then. I'd give him an update. I'd be like, how's it going in there? Did a hell of a job. Did my daughter's awesome. Room as well. He killed it. Okay, NFL news of the day coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Okay, all the latest coaching dominoes after the Bears got their guy, the shoddy offensive coordinator resume, and fans of the Bills are circling the wagons against this Baltimore host. That's next.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.